Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Bigfoot Live, starring Thomas Gardy, the world's most respected authority on the phenomena known as Bigfoot. Sit back and relax as we take you on a journey into the world of the unknown. Believer or skeptic, man or woman, you will be mesmerized by real people telling real descriptions about real encounters. Fasten your seatbelts, America. It's reality radio at its finest, and it starts now.
In 1967, my whole life changed. I saw the Roger Patterson film on the Johnny Carson show. And I gotta tell you, that's the day I thought I was gonna challenge the world and go out and find this thing.
We had found like 12 tracks in the ground. I didn't want to believe it was Bigfoot.
Oh, yeah.
He's moving right now. He's moving right now. He's straight out of the tree line. He's moving to the right. See him? He's going to the right. He's going into the trees right now. Come here, look.
I'm Bob Hallmark, and I'm a reporter with ABC Television in Tyler, Longview. It's been my pleasure to be with Tom Scotty and his team tonight, and I have to admit that I was skeptical when I came out here. I thought we, at this time in our history, had the technology to be able to find one of these things if it existed. But after seeing the footprints and the dig marks in the sand and what I believe to be a very large creature running at a high rate of speed through the woods, I'm convinced I'm going to have to change my opinion on Bigfoot.
I turned, I saw this thing standing by my gator.
When I saw the actual footprints, I realized they were something special and probably Sasquatch.
When I landed on the ground, I was kind of thinking, this ain't no human being. It's got to be something else.
www.searchingforbigfoot.com.
Alice knows what you think I've seen. Some strange, you know. Sasquatch sitting on the side of his knee, and he was talking to Moxon Joe. Well, the party they're gonna have out in the St. John's walls. Sasquatch doing a brand new dance, and he called it the Bigfoot Stomp.
Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Marco Bill on the Bigfoot Live broadcast. And folks, it's that time of the week again. It's time for the Wednesday evening Bigfoot Live radio show with our host, Mr. Tom Descarty. And now, everybody, the man who put the big back into Bigfoot, our host and renowned Bigfoot researcher, Mr. Tom Biscardi. Good evening, Tom. How are you tonight?
Doing
Hello.
Wonderful.
Hey.
How are you?
I am great. Hey, TJ, can I give you a lineup tonight? Who we got here?
Well, right ahead, Marco Bill, please.
Got Doyle. We have Leo. We have Rocky, and we have Swede. And also, Rocky had gotten a hold of Jimmy from Arkansas, and he was going to tell us about his encounter experience to start off. And Jimmy's on.
So we got the world's foremost experts, plus Jimmy Johnson, on the Bigfoot Live radio show tonight. How wonderful can that be? Let me tell you something. To have all these brains, these Bigfoot brains and minds that are more knowledgeable about Bigfoot than the rest of the world, it's amazing, Marco. Amazing.
I know.
How do we get so lucky?
I don't know. How could we meet so many neat people?
Well, I kind of know how. You got to get out and you got to travel across the U.S. You got to stop in certain cities and towns and states and actually investigate Bigfoot sightings. And that's how we've met everybody that's on the roundtable, plus many more all across the U.S. You know,
I know.
And I'm getting on my soapbox today because, you know, I got some emails and it really kind of pissed me off a little bit. So I'm going to climb up on my soapbox for a little bit, if you don't mind.
Oh, no, go ahead.
Okay. You know, I get people emailing me telling me and us, Searching for Bigfoot, that we don't do nothing, that we don't go nowhere, that we sit behind a computer and we pretty much recycle what's going on the internet. I actually wrote back 3.5-page letter to this idiot, okay? And before I hit send, you know what I did, Marco?
What?
I deleted the email. I'm not even going to give him the oxygen. Okay, I spent almost an hour responding to this retarded friggin' idiot, okay? And that's right, I use the word retard because he's a friggin' retard, okay?
Yeah.
And I said to myself, you know something? By me responding to this guy, it's giving him all the validity in the world. I'm not even going to respond to him because I know better. We know better. Everybody across the U.S. that we've met in the past, oh, my God, we're going on 15 years, Marco. In the last 15 years, knows better. You know, hey, we don't always make the great friends with everybody we meet because we have differences. Some people can't get by that. But mostly, everybody we meet, everybody we talk to, every place we investigate, and we've been to every state in the union. I know the only state is Connecticut. We never had a sighting in Connecticut, which I kind of find weird. But that's okay, you know. And so I just want to say, how can people, and I'm sure this guy was just an armchair quarterback, you know, surfing the internet, reading stuff, disagreeing, and instead of, you know, beating me up over an email about we don't do nothing, we don't go nowhere, we don't know what Bigfoot is, we're just out there to gain publicity. Well, like I said in my email, hey, you know something? We're a company. Companies have to make money, especially if you have shareholders. So, yeah, we're going to try to get publicity. What's wrong with us getting publicity and everybody else gets publicity for whatever they want for free? Yes, we try. But like I said, never send it back to them. And that just really irked the heck out of me. And to know that we've got people and friends that we can literally drive up to within a couple of days' notice, and they'll say, pop some tents, man. Bathroom's here.
I know. Isn't it amazing? There's another difference, too, Tommy. Yeah, TJ, you know what? You know, a lot of people out there, go on the internet one time and just take a look around at the people that are investigating Bigfoot. And there are some people out there dedicated. I mean, I'm not putting them down. They are. They're dedicated to go out there. However, it's within a car's distance. In other words, wherever you can drive your vehicle, they're limited to that aspect of it. And they limit themselves to that aspect of it. A lot of them do, and that's really you just can't hunt Bigfoot on a road. Then look at the certain weekly program that they have on there, and you'll see that they're driving down roads, and then they have a plethora of sound gear cameras. Can you imagine having 50 some people in the woods somewhere, even in an isolated place, with all the cameras and lights and everything else they got to have to put it on TV and to take it? There's going to be any creature, not just a Bigfoot, any creature.
They wouldn't even be a squirrel besides a Bigfoot. Oh, you're right, Marco. It amazes me how people can be so, I don't even know the word. I mean, I don't even want to say closed-minded, but they're retards, friggin' retards, that's all. You know, they live in such a fantasy world of their own that they don't get out and socialize, and they don't, you know, they were given participation trophies for everything they've done in life, and they think that they deserve what they deserve, and no matter if you're doing what you're doing, they want to beat it down and make it sound like it's not, and they're not doing anything. And, you know, fine. Like I said, I drafted an email. It was probably the best email I've ever written in my life. It was nice, no vulgarity, not F you, you're a retard. And then at the end, I went, after I read it a couple times, I went, why did I just waste an hour of my life and my breath and my fingers? So I deleted it. I'm not even going to respond to the guy because he's dumb, you know, not even dumb.
I know.
He's stupid.
Well, there's,
you know?
So many people don't realize, you know, our organization has been in nearly every major Native American reservation
mm-hmm.
throughout the United States and Canada. And
right.
it's, and I mean, and it's not like we're getting permission to go on. They actually call us to go there. And then once we're there, they maintain a relationship with us. And we have a relationship with every major tribe that's, I mean, throughout the United States there, the Apaches, Navajos, Cherokee, Ojibwa, Chippewa in Minnesota, and you know, good God.
Everywhere.
So many. Yeah, I know. It's just so many. And we maintain that. We maintain that close relationship with those folks, the tribes and the tribal councils throughout there. And so they contact us anytime they have any action going on. And
right.
I mean, it's a neat thing. I mean, when you make relationships with different people and organizations that are really out there to, you know, to find the creature and to
mm-hmm.
end the mystery and to end all the, you know, the disbelief and all this other stuff. It's amazing what you find.
Yeah. You know, people. You know, like you're saying, you know, they go their gas, as far as their gas tank will take them, and it's usually not even a full gas tank, but, you know, the people across the U.S. that we meet, the relationships that we build, it's not even about Bigfoot, you know? You know, it's amazing. You know, like I said, we could get in a vehicle right now, and I could drive to pretty much every state in the Union except for Connecticut, and we've got friends. We got people.
I know.
I mean, people we call.
You know, the other amazing thing that takes place
mm-hmm.
is many times
yeah.
we get calls from people, and they want to come on the show and they want to tell us where the Bigfoot is. They're going to tell us where it is, okay? But
mm-hmm.
they want $600 for us to do that. I laugh.
Yeah.
I can't keep laughing when that happens.
Yeah.
And this has happened several, as you know, this has happened quite frequently. But people,
yeah.
you know, wanting to get paid for showing us where Bigfoot is. We don't need to get paid to show where, we know where Bigfoot is.
Right. You know, another thing, you know, another email I got was, you know, people, they send pictures. This is Bigfoot, you know.
Yeah.
And I'll give you the first glance. You see something that looks like a Bigfoot, you know, but people don't realize nowadays that, you know, there's a thing called Google Images, okay?
Sure.
And you can take the picture that they send you and put it in there, and it'll tell you the date, the year, the time, every time that showed up on the internet. Just make a long
yep.
story short. Actually, it'll be a little bit longer. So, you know, photos sent to us, and it's looking really good. And, you know, I'm thinking to myself, something's back in my mind going, I've seen that somewhere before, but I'm not positive. So I go and throw it into Google Images, and it pops up, 2009, Michigan, 2013, Virginia, 2015, Philippines, 2000, now, Texas.
Yeah.
So I call the person back up who claimed that this was his original photo, you know.
Right.
And I said to him, I said, look, so you took this picture when? Oh, I just took it last weekend. We and the family were out. We were down here near a place in Texas, yada, yada, yada. I said, look, buddy, I'm not even going to give you any more time of day. I go, obviously, you know, you're either stupid or you think I'm naive. Because there's a thing called Google Images, and as soon as I got to the word Google Images, he hung up on me.
Yep.
People are trying to poke. people are trying.
Yeah, well,
to
what's even funnier
truck.
Is we get pictures that we've had on for like 15 years, and it's from our own site.
Yeah.
And you're sending them to us again.
Exactly.
It's some of our own material. It's amazing.
I have had, you know, some of the photos that Ivan Marks took back in the 60s and 70s, you know, and it's like, I just took this picture, and I'm like, man, have you ever right-clicked on a picture before? You know, right-click the picture, dude. Okay, what does that say on the bottom? Ivan Marks from Biscardi, 1972. Oh, did you even read what you were calling, you know? But I don't understand why they're doing it. I guess thought about it. Maybe they're bored, they're drunk, they're on drugs, or they just want to waste our time. But it's getting harder to deal with the real, genuine sightings. The people are going to be idiots, but you're going to always have them. And that's why we have our
well, it's hard to filter out the chaff. You know,
it's hard. It's just a waste of time.
It's that's what I'm saying. Yeah. It's time-consuming. That's what makes it hard.
Yeah.
And it's time-consuming. Yeah. And it's not worth it. I mean, good God. I mean, it's amazing. Well, we had Jimmy to come on just to tell us about his thing, and then we were going to go into the board thing.
Awesome. Let's bring Jimmy Johnson on.
Okay.
Jimmy Johnson from Arkansas.
Got it. Here is me.
Arkansas.
Whoops. Yep, that's Jimmy. No, it's not. I'm sorry. It's Leo. The one above it is
Jimmy's a 479 number. 479.
I got it. It's just when I hit it, I hit the wrong mic here.
Hey,
go
guys.
Go ahead, Jimmy.
Hey,
Jimmy,
how you doing, guys?
How the heck are you?
I'm doing pretty good.
Hey, folks.
Good to finally be on with y'all.
About time. And look, so people know it's not Jimmy Johnson, the race car driver. It's the famous Jimmy Johnson out of Arkansas, the Bigfoot.
Yep, the other one.
The other one. The first one.
Yeah.
There you go. So, buddy, you know, it's been a long time, and I'm glad you finally wanted to come on and share your story with us. And we were hoping that you could, you know, Marco, Jimmy wasn't by himself. I'm sure he had Rocky and Swede with him. Can you open them up also?
I can't see that. Here's Swede, and here's Rocky.
All right.
Hey, everybody.
Hey, Rocky. Hey, Swede. How are you?
Good evening. Good evening. Doing good.
Outstanding. So, Jimmy, why don't you take us off to how the day started, kind of what transpired, and if something doesn't recollect, I'm sure the Swede or Rocky will pop in.
All right. Well, Rocky took me out, or the Swede took me out to meet Rocky, and we were just going to have a good 3 or 4 days riding four-wheelers and, you know, just kind of camping out and doing guy stuff, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was probably like the second day we went out for a long ride. We rode all day. And I guess it was later in the day, afternoon. We coming down some steep hills and crossed a couple creeks and headed down this real, real deep hill. And Rocky lost a magazine or something on the way down, so we stopped there and we were looking around for it. Finally found it there for him, and he, me and the Swede took off ahead of Rocky, and got down pretty close to a fairly large creek down there, and the Swede stopped right as he pulled out in the clearing, just slammed on the brakes and stood up on his four-wheeler and drew his pistol out, and I pulled up right behind him, pretty close, and I saw something jump up and run up through the woods, up this hill. And, I mean, this hill was so steep, you would have to climb, you would have to climb up it, like on all fours. And then, yeah. And then Rocky comes up pretty soon after that. I don't know, 5-6 seconds right after that. And I think he got off his four-wheeler and come up beside us and handed me his spare revolver. And we went to go check for tracks. And I honestly don't know what I saw, but I saw something big and fast going up that hill. And, you know, I've spent a lot of time out in the woods hunting. I've deer hunted since I was a little boy, seen black bear, hog, big cat, just all kinds of critters. And I've never seen something move up a hill that fast.
How big do you think it was?
Well, we were what, 80 yards, something like that.
Closer to 100.
Yeah. It was, I don't know, it was real big. I would have said it was a really big black bear, but it was huge. It was massive. But I just saw it fly up that hill. I mean, just so fast it was almost a blur, and I just saw the branches of the trees moving off in that thick brush. That brush up on that hillside was so thick. A human couldn't climb up it without getting tore up itself.
Hmm.
So, we went over to the creek, waded through the water,
right,
and wherever it was. And, in the water, you know how, like, you take a footprint, or you're walking through the water, and where your footprint is, there'll be mud coming up out of that footprint.
Yeah,
well,
exactly what I was. Yep.
There was it looked like something had been almost squatting there. There was just a big old muddy spot where it must have just jumped clear out of the water up on a, I guess it was about, kind of had a little bluff, you know how water will erode a hillside, going around a hillside. So it had to jump up there pretty far, probably three or four foot, and then just take off. There were that one print in the water, and then there was a print on the bank, and then there was a print a little further up, which I couldn't really see that one very well. The Swede might have been able to see that one better, huh?
So your blur that you were seeing, was it on all four? Was it on two? Could you discern that?
Well, no. See, I saw it by the time I got there. You know, the Swede pulled up,
Okay.
Yeah, he saw it first, and he was blocking my view of it whenever it was in the water. I saw it as it was going up the hill, flying up that hill. But I just basically saw a blur of black just flying up that hill.
Wow. You know, I'm trying to picture all the bears that I've seen climbing hills, and they're not a blur. They're more of a little kabunk, klabunk, you know?
Yeah.
Front legs hitting the back legs, the front legs moving up, and it's not a blur. So, wow, that's crazy. So, Swede, what did you see down in the water?
Well, Tommy, the way that event had happened, Jimmy left out a couple of incidents. You can understand how this all transpired. We had been driving along this creek, skirting it, and it crossing back and forth, switchbacking across this creek as we were going down through there, and we traveled several miles. And every time that we would have a creek crossing there, if the water was very deep, Jimmy was on old Kawasaki, the Amano Bayou that we've had for years and years. It's been a really good four-wheeler. Jimmy, being Jimmy, he just, you know, if it was deep water, he'd put it out in there, and that thing would get water in it, and it drowned it out. So Rocky was being the big red tow truck, actually, and he was behind us with his tow strap, and when Jimmy would get flooded out, stalled out in the middle of the river, we'd go out, get the tow strap, and then Rocky drag him backwards out of there, and we'd get up there and dry it out and try again, you know. Well, we done this a couple of times down the road.
You need to explain to him what the tow truck was.
Yeah, the big red Honda Tomato, you know, with the... I was talking with Jimmy on it out of the water. But, you know, that's the way it was because that's just what we were up against because some of the crossings were deeper than, you know, what the bike was capable of doing it, but it wasn't no without lack of trying. But anyhow, when we pulled up there to that spot where I viewed this, there was a crossing there. We were going to have to cross the creek, and my first thing when I pulled up there was I pulled up there and I stopped and I looked at the river to see, well, how deep it was. And then I seen a little bit of a movement downstream. And there's trees and stuff on both sides, but the river was fairly straight there. And there was a big black figure, but it was bent over like a bear in the river. And at first, when I first saw it, I thought, that's a black bear. Look at that black bear. And I was going to tell Jimmy, look at that black bear, Jimmy. And then it stood up, and when it stood up, it wasn't definitely, if it was a black bear, it was a really, really tall black bear.
Right.
And I don't even remember drawing my revolver, but it doesn't do any good in your holster. It's just always
instinctive.
So it turns 180 degrees, kind of looked up there towards us, you know, couldn't really see no facial features or anything. It was set sideways, profiling, and it turned 180 degrees. And when it did the 180 degrees, the arms are down at his side, and it took one step with a swing of the arm and one more step, and then it was in the brush going up the trees. A bear doesn't do that. It goes back down on his fours, and it goes. This thing took two steps out of the creek, and it freaked me out a little bit. I was like, whoa, Jimmy, did you see that? And it was just plowing up through the trees, you know. And then by the time Rocky got there, it was already up into the woods down there to where we thought it had come out. And there was no mistaking where it could come out of the river.
Right.
And, like Jimmy said, the tracks were there. It come up that bank. Rocky actually tried to go up that bank and ended up planting his face in the mud. I mean, it's like steep, slick, you know, with all fours. And this thing ran up it with three steps. It took one at the, like what Jimmy said, it jumped up onto the little bluff rock there at the edge of the river. It took a step in the middle, and it planted one right at the crest, and then it was up into the really rocky, bluffy, up-the-hill brush stuff, and it was just gone. It was quite a sighting and quite an event. You know, I mean, it was really something to see those tracks. It was not bear tracks. There was no claw marks, you know. I can't tell you exactly it was a Bigfoot, but if it was a bear, it was very unique in its way that it, so when it got out there. And another too, though, the river, TJ, where it was standing at in the river, if I was to go out in that river, it would be at least waist deep on me. I'm a tall guy. It would be at my waist. When this thing stood up, when it turned, I could actually see between its legs, so it was like thigh deep on it. So
and a bear, back legs are real short.
You see, so it was a pretty big, tall critter. I mean, it was a pretty big animal. So, anyhow, of course, you know, we all kind of had the hair standing up on the back of my neck when we were down there. And, you know, Rocky was like, look at that. Look at those tracks right there. Those are not bear tracks. And we picked right up on it. I mean, there was no mistaking. But we were way down in there. I mean, we were back down in the bushes there. And I think that, and you can ask Jimmy after that, he was a believer. I mean, there was no doubt that was, you know, like I said, we've seen it all and had interactions with everything. kind of like, you know, like you alluded to at the first of the show, and you, Marco, were talking about having a whole bunch of guys out there in the woods with cameras, all this, that, and the other.
Right.
Every time that we go to the woods, we have encounters with critters, whether it's bears or deers or hogs or coons or whatever it is, we see lots of wildlife. Deer, you know, at night, you see deer eyes, you see stuff. There's always something to see, and generally have pretty close contact with animals, and you know those animals.
Right.
But when you see something like that, you think, well, it's a black bear in the river. It immediately changes, and it's not a black bear in the river. It's something else.
Makes you think, makes you wonder, you know. So, so Jimmy's a big believer now. That's awesome.
Oh yeah.
Well, let me say something here.
Go ahead. You say something.
When we went out there, I had never made mention of Bigfoot to the Swede. I never made mention of Bigfoot to Jimmy. I was riding my big red Honda. You've seen it.
Yep.
But I had just got done pulling Jimmy out of the creek, and I told him to go ahead and get up there with the Swede, and I rolled up my tow strap and headed that way. When I came to the clearing, the Swede was off of his four-wheeler, and Jimmy was still on his, but it looked like he just got done swallowing a pound of gravel. I mean, he had a kind of a worried look on his face, and I asked him, so what's up? So they told me what they saw, and I suggested that we go down there, so I tossed Jimmy a handgun. And, of course, I always got a spare, but or three. Anyhow, we walked down to the creek, down the creek, and you could see where the water had been splashed out on the rocks. When we got up to that place, there was, you know, how the mud and everything will kind of eddy around coming out of a track. Out of a footprint,
yep.
Or something just gone through. Okay, we saw that, and when I stood beside it, up on the bank, the first, the second footprint was just about eye level with me. And so you could see up at the top where it kind of broke over. Well, you could see where the foot had hit and kind of broke the edge over. Well, okay, like I say, water splashed all up on the bank and everything. So I was going to climb up it and, you know, see if I could see any more tracks. Well, when I tried to climb up it, it was just slick as snot, and I ended up planting my face into the bank pretty close to that track. But, there were, just like Sweet said, there was no claw mark. The bottom footprint, as close as you could tell, it was bigger than the Swede's boot. He wears a pretty good sized boot. What size you wear?
10.5.
Well, there you go. It was a big print, and the one that was up on the bank, you could only see the front part of the foot. You could see where the toes had dug in, but there was no claw mark. Okay, there was no hand prints like it had grabbed and pulled itself up. I mean, it was obvious a run, and it hit the bank with lots of momentum. And like I said, I didn't see anything other than the tracks. And when I got there, I could see that the Swede was somewhat agitated. And, you know, I think I smelled a little poo-poo coming from Jimmy. But
just a little bit.
But anyhow, And so, you know, the Bigfoot thing had never come up.
And, oh,
you know, even after that, I didn't show my hand. That was the first time I'd met Jimmy. And
right.
We was actually taking him out there to the, we was going to murder him and put him in the wall. But we changed our mind because he did a bunch of chores around camp for us. So,
he was dating my daughter at the time, and so we were going to make sure everything was good or we were going to leave him out there.
Yeah.
But we ended up letting him come on back with us.
Yeah. Then I even let him come to work for me. But the thing of it was, well, you've been there. You know where the overhang is.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
It was just past the overhang.
Downstream from the overhang, TJ, about a half a mile or so.
Okay. Yeah. Wow. Yeah, that's a trek down there. My goodness. Wow.
Yeah.
We got to the overhang, and we were all so hot and sweaty after those hours of driving, a few of us took baths.
Yeah. Well, the first time me and the Swede saw that place, you could only see about a foot of it because the water was up. And, you know, we didn't even know it was there until the next year when we went down there. And it hadn't been raining. And you saw how big it was when the water was down.
Yeah, you could stand up in it.
Yeah.
The water
but,
was touching the rock the first time we seen it.
Hmm.
If you could imagine that, TJ, it was a roaring river.
Wow.
Going through
that would have been up above
you know,
the bank.
You're talking about that one. None of us really said anything about a Bigfoot. I just said, I don't know that that was a bear. When we saw that thing, it kind of freaked me out. And when we went back to camp after we went on riding and did our thing and we saw all kinds of cool stuff, and, you know, just did everything and had a great time. And that night, I don't know if Jimmy slept the rest of the camping trip. I think he slept with one eye open.
Oh, yeah.
He'd asked several times. He's pretty quiet there around the camp there for a little bit, and then he came over there and he said, Rocky, what do you think that was down there? And,
Rocky, can I stand with you? Sorry, I just throw that out there.
You know, we were deciphering it out in our own heads, and we weren't really talking about it at first.
Right.
Because it's, you know, it's one of those things that just kind of, it's like, wow, you know, and then you second-guess yourself. You know, well, yeah, you know how that goes.
Yep. But
all three of us being there in the seeing it, I mean, me and Jimmy actually saw I saw it right standing in the creek. Jimmy saw it going up through the brush, and Rocky saw the footprints, and it was just still wet from launching out of the river. You know, it was a pretty good sighting. There was three guys there that, you know, there was no bullshit involved. It was just, that's what it was, and that's what it was. And, you know, still today, I can't tell you that it was a Bigfoot. And I can't tell you it wasn't a bear, but I've never seen a bear act like that. I've never seen a bear that big in Arkansas that could stand
and
in,
I've never seen
the water
a bear with
deep.
A foot like that.
Yeah,
right.
And seen no bear that would go up the side of a bank. With the, you know, when a bear runs up a bank with all fours, like you said, it's kind of clump, and they leave a bunch of tracks because they don't walk like they do when they're walking, when they put their back
right.
foot into their front foot track. It's a different
yep.
situation when they're climbing, and they leave a bunch of tracks. But this was
wow.
like a...
I noticed that on those footprints, there was no sliding. Like, you know how you would imagine an animal would kind of slide down that hill a little bit, going up it?
Like
it was
I
just
did.
Boom, boom, like pits in the ground.
Yeah, they were just hooked right in there, weren't they, Jimmy?
Yeah. And another thing I noticed is how quiet it was. I mean, it made hardly no sound going up through those woods. And that was one of the things that later on freaked me out when I was thinking about it, because I've heard, you know, I've heard deer make more noise going up a hill like that.
Exactly. Yeah, it would definitely, whatever it was, it knew where it was going and how to get there, because, you know, there's no, I just don't even, I mean, I know that we could have went on up that hill after it broke over the top. We could have went up there by them rocks, but I really didn't want to.
I didn't want to.
I mean, I really didn't want to at the time. I'm thinking, you know, if this thing's sitting right behind this rock, it's going to be face-to-face, and it's going to be a gunfight. And,
okay, the first time that I ever brought up Bigfoot to the Swede was when Tom Sr. came down, and we used Jimmy Johnson's apartment for the BBC interview. That's the first time the Swede had heard anything about the Bigfoot thing. And he kind of got mad at me because I hadn't told him in all that time, but he got over it.
Oh, yeah. It was just amazing to me. And then after getting into the, after being out in the Bigfoot world, like, you can understand some of that because of, you know, a lot of people freak out about that and think you're some kind of a kook or a nut. And, you know, you kind of got to, sometimes it's better to keep your stuff close in your pocket than, you know, to hand it out. And sure. I understood that after the fact, while Rocky, you know, didn't say anything. It's just that we were so close and we've been doing everything together forever. And it was just surprising to me that he had kept that so tight, didn't say anything about it. And then when it finally did come out, you know, it was all good, and you know, here we are. But I understand it, and I understand why there's people out there that don't say anything about sightings or experiences that they had for years because they're afraid of persecution, you know, or being roughed up or harassed or whatever, you know, or you're lying, or, you know how that goes.
Yep.
And,
okay. Tommy, what you was talking about earlier when you was on your soapbox,
right?
The guy emailing you and saying that
Rocky,
okay.
Hold on 1 second. Marco, bring the rest of the round table in for us. Almost forgot about that.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Bring in Doyle and Leo.
But what you was talking about when you was on your
soapbox. All right.
You
were
talking
ahead,
about how they said, the guy was saying that, you know, we sit at the computer and which I don't own, and, you know, we always got there late. Why is it, do you reckon, that every time we went out, the other big hunters were at least 2 weeks behind us?
They're reading our story.
just like in Rockwall,
like
Texas.
Texas.
Yeah,
Rockwall, Texas.
Down there, Matt Moneymaker shows up a week after we've been down there. Remember that, Tommy?
Yep.
Well,
we went to
Rockwall, Texas, and none of the other Bigfoot people showed up until after the police came down and threatened to arrest us if we didn't vacate the premises immediately.
Yeah, then Cryptomundo showed up.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow.
But they only showed up for the food.
Yeah, Tom was very gracious, fed him too, didn't he?
I couldn't believe that he fed him that much. But that's another story.
That's another story. Doyle,
hello,
it's good
Doyle.
To hear your voice. Doyle, I wanted to say hi. It's good to hear your voice again.
Good to hear you, brother.
I wasn't trying to log up. We just got going a little bit there. Y'all jump in there. And if you got any questions or anything about that little story we just told you, jump in.
Hey, this is Leo. Hi there.
No, I just Hey, how you doing, brother?
Hey, I'm doing good. Hey, TJ.
Hi, Leo.
Hey, man, I'm smoking hot mad right now.
Why?
I'll tell you why I'm smoking hot mad. I sent Marco Bill a text earlier to tell him I was going to try to make the show, but I might not be on the show, and I'm going to tell you why. Marco, I'm just now getting home about maybe 45 minutes before the show started. Been out to my favorite spot, Uwari Forest. I've got a couple of family members who came on board, a nephew and a cousin who's joined up with me as far as my team. And we're going back out tomorrow. We're going to spend 3 days out the same spot that we were at before, TJ.
Ooh,
and listen to you, and yes, sir, and listen to you talk about the email that you got. It really ticks me off because the first thing I did when I pulled into the driveway, my nephew and my cousin and I had to go in the garage and strip down naked, Rocky, and get about maybe 7 or 8 ticks off of me because of where we were.
Mm-hmm.
And what really ticks me off is these people that send emails and start talking about what we do and how we conduct ourselves. Let me tell you something, folks. You've heard Leo the Bigfoot Hunter say it many times on this show, and I've talked to folks who tried to come along and get on the bandwagon and go with us but not willing to do what we do. We go in places that you wouldn't believe. We do things that you wouldn't believe. We eat what you wouldn't eat. And we stay out all times of night looking for these creatures. And I'm telling you, if and I always put this out there, the invitation to everybody, if you really, 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 really doubt what we do, then all you got to do is call up TJ and go on an expedition with us. And when I tell you folks, the expedition that we go on, I mean, we're not out at 6 o'clock and in bedtime like little kids, you know, at about 7. We are out all times of night. And we're in places where if you got a flashlight, you can't even see your hands in front of your face. And you know what, TJ? I'm getting ready to make contact with our good friend Jody up in Asheville, up in Bryson City. I'm going to go back up there with her and see what's going on. And like I said, I tell folks, you know, folks, I'm coming in this evening from being in Uwari Forest, and we're going to go back out there. We're going to do some night investigation along with a couple, like I said, with my nephew and cousin. We're going back out there. And, you know, if you don't believe what we say, then all you got to do is contact one of us, and we'll take you out there. I mean, this is not going to be something where we in Farmer Brown's backyard in the inner city or something like that, or we in Joe Blow's backyard, you know, that's close to the suburbs. We are in places where a lot of people will not go. I'm just going to tell you.
Yep.
You know, and if you really want to get out there with us, come on, go out there with us. I mean, like I say, we're going to be doing night investigations past 11 o'clock.
Hey,
come on now.
Let me tell you right now. Let me steal the spotlight.
Go ahead, brother.
Go.
I've been with Tommy Viscardi. And we've been floated in on the island down in Texas, out on the lake. We got invaded by snakes, killed how many? What, 40 cottonmouths?
Oh, God, close to 50, 10 of them.
Cottonmouths swimming to our land. That's all we had. That's all we had. We were camped out and they flooded in. And, Tommy, what do? We ate the goddamn snakes, didn't we?
We did. That's the time that I actually got the exhaustion. You guys took me to the hospital.
That's it. I had to take Tommy to the hospital because he got a heat exhaustion. And I'm telling you, you don't, these people don't understand what we do. We go into a place like Tackett Creek, Tennessee. You go into Tackett Creek, Tennessee, you've got these crazy goddamn hillbillies that will chase you down on four-wheelers and shoot your ass because they don't know who you are. We go into places where you have to crawl into holes and in the little caves. Tommy was on the damn WYMT Mountain News for doing it because he crawled into a hole that was infested with copperheads trying to look for signs of a Bigfoot track. The damn videos are out there. They're out there.
They're on the YouTube.
They all out here and play this game. This ain't no game, guys. This ain't no game.
They're
doing the hardcore stuff.
Dole, the thing that folks fail to realize, you know, when we was in the Uwari Forest and I was out there with TJ, you know, we went to the deepest areas and I was sitting there beside Youngblood, and Youngblood was breaking out with this doggone mag light, and I had this mag light as close as I can get to my hand. I couldn't even see my hand. And these are the type of environments that we go to. And the thing about, you know, hunting for Bigfoot is, it is the most boring job it is. But what I try to tell folks is, when you go out there with TJ, when you go out there with Tom Biscardi Sr., the godfather of Bigfoot, I keep telling folks, this is not some kind of amusement park. You know, this is the real deal. And when Tom started this investment venture, that's why I made sure I jumped on board with invested in this project, because I want to say to the scientific world, when we uncover this thing, to tell the folks, we showed you what the real deal is, you know. And I try to tell folks, you know, it's the exhausting type of hobby. I mean, because I am wore out from when we went to the Uwari Forest today, and we're going back tomorrow night to hang out 3 days. And I'm just telling folks, man, and we plan on going to Asheville, to the areas up near the Cherokee the Cherokee Reservation, and I try to tell folks, we go in areas that normal people wouldn't go. What you see on TV, these folks are going in areas that a normal person would go. We go in the areas where we know these
people. Moneymakers going into people's backyards.
There you go.
Okay?
There you go.
Yeah. Matt Moneymaker takes ski poles to walk through somebody's backyard. I'll challenge Matt Moneymaker any day of the week to take on the Biscardis, by God.
Won't happen. Well, hey,
you know,
I would say this, though. I'm
jump in here. Hold on. You know, you guys are friggin' just, like, we couldn't do this without you. Remember, it takes a family, it takes a village, it takes a team. And when we all go to the woods together, we all know we got each other's back. And all these other folks, you know, they may go to the woods, they may get a little campfire started near the barbecue pit and, you know, sit there and sing Kumbaya and, you know, drink their beer and say they went Bigfooting, but they didn't.
No.
We all know.
No.
You know?
They ain't never took night watch with a damn AR-15 strapped across you when you've had the howlings and knocks and everything else around the damn camp. They ain't never took. Not one time have they ever took night watch while everybody else could sleep a couple hours while you sit up and watch and listen for this shit. I promise you, they ain't done it. We do it. That's what we do.
We do it.
Amen.
We couldn't do it without you guys, you know, Leo and Rocky and Swede and Doyle and Jimmy and
maybe Jimmy Johnson now.
There you go. There you go.
Yeah. You know, but folks, you know, this is not for the faint of heart, just like Marco Bill has on one of our commercials, you know, it's not. And if you're not hot, tired, sick fit, feet sore, by the time you're done, you ain't gone look Bigfoot. You ain't camping.
There you go.
You ain't camping.
Hey, TJ, I tell folks, you know, sometimes, TJ, like when we brought Jimmy out there, asked Jimmy about that. We never start a fire. You know, me and Rocky never start a fire. And Jimmy was like, "Well, we're not going to start a fire."
Hey, remember when we started a fire in Arkansas? I was the first one to get y'all on fire, and that's the first night we got the house.
Hey, TJ, I always tell folks, if you really
jump in,
really
Leo.
And that's also when I found out that rock from Arkansas, when you get them hot, they explode.
Yeah, they blow up.
Go ahead, Leo.
If you really want to go Bigfoot hunting, folks, if you really, really, really want to go Bigfoot hunting, forget all this, what you see on Discovery Channel, forget what you see on the History Channel, come out with the Biscardis. You're really going to do some real Bigfoot hunting. I'm just telling you. It's like going on a safari. I mean, if you really want
to
go out
with
safari,
they can go out with any of our friends or families, and they'll know what real Bigfoot hunting is. And
they wouldn't know.
Yeah. Hey, come to Kentucky. I'll take anybody that wants to come here out. Let me know. Give me a couple of weeks advance. I'll take anybody out. I'll take you to Taggart Creek, Tennessee. I'll take you to the quarries of Kentucky. I'll take you to the Redbud Mountain. I'll take you to anywhere you want to go. We've got guaranteed sightings of Bigfoot. I'll take
no
you.
No charge.
We'll see him.
Free.
There you go, folks. Come out with Rocky. Come out with Doyle. Come out with TJ. Come out with anybody from the Tom Biscardi team. You will really, 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 really.
That's just the way it is, because we're searching for Bigfoot.com. You know, folks, it's been a wonderful evening. I want to thank our guest, Jimmy Johnson, for finally coming on after all this time and sharing with us. Because, you know, it does take time sometimes, folks. People have to process it before they can share it. You know, you can't always just dig it out of them because, you know, they're going to go a little south on you. But, you know, folks, we, as a company, we're doing great. We're going strong. Go to the OTCmarkets.com. Check out the stock price. Maybe you're in the market for some stock. And, you know, go to the website. Go to searchingforbigfoot.com. Get over there and help support us with all the apparel and Bigfoot attire and stickers and pins and boots and hats and bears, oh my. Don't forget, you can follow us on the road at Searching for Bigfoot Incorporated on Facebook or Searching for Bigfoot USA in your report when we're on the road, because that's how you can get in contact with us. And always remember this, the people on this round table always know where I'm at. So if you have a real true sighting and not something as bullshit that you just want to mess with, you can call me directly or you can get a hold of any one of our guys. And we're listed on our searchingforbigfoot.com website. So, folks, it's another Wednesday night. Meet us next week. I want to thank everybody here. Doyle, Leo, JJ, Rocky, Suede, Tweed. Thanks for coming on this evening, guys. We'll come back next week. Don't miss it. Next week's going to be a blast. Thanks for coming and checking us out at Bigfoot Live Radio. And let's not forget Marco Bill, the greatest producer in Bigfoot history.
Hey, man.
We need to go.
Hey,
God
Mrs. Calabash.
Good night. Good night,
everybody.
We can't forget about Mrs. Calabash.
Good night, everybody.
Good night, everybody.
Good night, guys.
Well, folks, once again, it's time to say so long. We'd like to thank Mr. Tom Biscardi and his guests and the Bigfoot team for joining us, and we'd especially like to thank you, our listeners, for tuning in. This is Marco Bill saying see you next Wednesday evening for some more Bigfoot Live radio show entertainment with Mr. Tom Biscardi and his team. And until then, keep the Bigfoot live and keep Bigfooting. See you next week.
Three men with a gold and a pack that they'd hold and a promise till the day that they died. Answers to the questions no one's found before. Driving determination, the only key they had to unlock the door. Monster mission mysteries, legend, tales, and facts. We brought them together. Reason for the fact.